Amen.
I've surely enjoyed the fellowship with you, Pastor, these days. We've had a good time eating and fellowship and talking about old times, talking about all the church members. I'm kidding. I've seen five people grab a songbook. It's fixing to start throwing songbook at us. I'm just kidding, amen. We was going to talk about everybody, but we started on John and we never could get done with him, so. Yeah, that's right, amen. Well, praise the Lord, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house, and I certainly am thankful for the emphasis that has been in the service tonight, and that's the Lord, amen, and His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness to us. I'm thankful for that, amen, and I bless His name. He's been a lot better to me than I have been to Him, and I believe we all could probably say that. Amen. If we would meditate more, that is the preoccupation of your mind, deliberately placing your thoughts upon the Lord. Amen. Thinking about Him, meditating upon Him, and going about your day thinking about the Lord. I believe we'd be a lot closer to Him. I believe we would be loving Him more. He can't love us more. He can't love us less. His is, amen, that divine love. But now our love for Him can increase. Amen. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. But if you've studied that out, you know what Jesus had in mind and what Peter had in mind was two different things. I'm afraid a lot of times we're like Peter, that when we say we love the Lord, it's really that we're just fond of Him. It's just a friendship relationship. But Lord, help us. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter number 5, verse 24, the Lord has in the last few moments changed my mind about the direction and the service tonight, and that usually caused me to have nerve issues, but I know better than to try to mind Him, because I have ignored Him before in that regard, you know, and so we'll just try to mind the Lord. Mark chapter number 5, Mark chapter number 5, and also if you want to find a second place, would be Luke chapter 8. This is the same identical passage, it's just Mark's covering of it, and then Luke's coverage of this detail. It's Mark chapter number 5, give me a moment to mark my places here. In Luke chapter number 8, we'll be looking at the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, he's heard of her. There's a lot of great preaching of truth that can come from her, and not just relating that in application-wise to salvation, but also to you and I in our practical life. She was a real woman. She was a certain woman, a real woman, that had an issue. And she didn't just have an issue, but her issue had her. And, you know, a lot of times when you've heard people say, you know, talking to somebody, said, what's your issue? You know, what they're saying is, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? What's bothering you? Amen. That's what the word issue stands for, and it means in the text. It also means, what's the matter? What's the matter with you? I can still hear Mama saying that to me often, daily, seemingly. Y'all were good kids. I can tell by the halos in the house tonight. Amen. Mark chapter 5, We'll read that first. And then Mark chapter number 5, of course you know the story here, but let's look down and of course Jairus had went to get the Lord for his daughter that was dying, his only daughter, his little daughter. And en route back to the house, you know, Jesus was following Jairus. A lot of times miracles took place when people were following Jesus. But in this particular case, a miracle was experienced from the Lord because Jesus was following the believer. And I believe that principle is in the Scripture. Us following Christ, that's definitely in the Scripture. But I believe Him following us, following our faith. Amen. How many times did Jesus say, according to your faith, so be it unto you? A lot of times what Jesus does is hindered by one or both of those scenarios. It's hindered by us not following Him the way we should. We miss out on a lot of what Jesus can do. Or He's following us and we're not leading Him in a good direction. Where would He go if He follows you? Where would He have went today if He had been following us? What would He have done today if He had been following us? Anyway, en route back to the house where the daughter was dying, and of course we know the whole story, that before they got back to the house, that she in fact had died. But en route, this woman with issue of blood just came in behind and you know, I even referenced her last night about talking to herself. And she did that. Let's just start reading here in verse number 20. We'll just start with her, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. I want to identify the fact that the Bible said she was a certain woman. This was not a hypothetical statement. This was not just throwing something out at leisure. Jesus, the Word of God, is identifying a real person that's got a real problem. It's got a real need and is making a move in the right direction to the right person to have that need met. And look what it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, I want to point out that this is not the woman telling that about herself. This is the Word of God telling that about herself. One thing that God does not need about you tonight, and that's information. God does not need you to send Him an email or an email. You know, there's been times I thought I felt like God needed some information. Hello? Lord, I'm over here in this ditch, you know. But He don't need information. He just needs an invitation. And so we look here, what He says in the Word of God here, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered. Look at the details of her, about her that's not coming from her. The Lord knows where we are. The Bible is up to date. The Bible is always current. And it's always precise. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, this is what I was referencing last night about talking to herself. No, it wasn't last night. It was the night before, wasn't it? This week's going by quickly. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Let me just make mention of something. I saw it as I was coming through just now reading this, and I was just going to read on. But Jesus, the Bible said here in verse number 30, well, she made the statement, let me back up here just a moment. She said in verse 28, if I may but touch his clothes, not that I may just but touch him, but that if I may touch his clothes, there's a lot of error today about what people believes about clothing. Are you listening? And most preachers will never touch it. Most preachers will never, and most congregations will not allow it to ever be touched. But the Word of God has an enormous amount to say about clothing. The first thing God did after the fall, the first thing He did after the fall was to reject the fig leaf, skimpy aprons, and to cover them with the coats of skin. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. Don't y'all think that's amazing? When there was not another woman for Adam to lust after, or not another man for Eve to lust after, there was no chance of fornication, no chance of adultery. God moved in and clothed them. That always interests me. So really, modesty is not really of the horizontal importance. It's a vertical importance. It's you dressing right before the eyes of God. I mean, even when we get to heaven, we're going to be robed. What's the big deal about that? Pleases God. Amen. Anyway, she said, if I may but just touch his clothes. And then as we read on through here, the Bible said here, when Jesus realized the virtue had went out of him, look what he said, who touched my clothes? What he was represented in his clothing. His power that was in his person was also in his clothing. His identity, it was in his person, was also in his clothes. That's why it's important that Christians dress like Christians. It's because your testimony is in your clothing as well. Anyway, we won't preach on that much. I don't know too many can handle that kind of thing. That's not my subject tonight anyway. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitudes thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He noticed that. They said, who touched me? Jesus said, who touched my clothes? Is that two different things, or is that one and the same? Are you listening? In verse 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter. That's family talk. That's a family term. In fact, in case we don't get to it, that's the exact same word that Jairus used to talk about his little girl. In this same text, his little daughter, daughter. And here Jesus is calling this woman, daughter. Amen. Well, I'm glad when the Lord does a work in your life and saves you, you are in his family. Amen. That's right. We are sons and daughters of God. I like it. I praise the Lord for that. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Notice there what God called, identified what was wrong with her. He called it a plague. And we'll look at that in just a little bit more. And then the story resumes in verse 35 with Jairus and his daughter and so forth, and the healing and the raising her from the dead. In Luke chapter number 8, in verse number 43, Luke 8 verse 43, this same story, but just a few different details. And the Bible says here, and it starts in verse 41 about Jairus, But it picks up in verse 43 with the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon many physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And of course, we all know that the border, the hem, was the finished work. That was the last thing that was done, is when they hemmed up the hem of him. She touched the finished work. That's good, isn't it? We're saved by works. It's just not our works. We're saved by his works. And I might add a very important detail, his finished work. When he said it's finished, he meant it. Nothing could be added to it or taken away from it. But the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, spent all of her living upon physicians. And look at this, neither could be healed of any. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately, her issue of blood staunched. That is, she never had an issue no more. Her issue was gone. And the Bible said, and Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." He said, "I perceive that virtue," and that word virtue means healing power. Miraculous work, miraculous power has gone out of me. Amen. I tell you, when God does a work in your life, there's something that comes out of him that gets in you. And what comes out of him and goes into you is greater than what was in you. The issue that was in her had to go. And I'm thankful for that great truth right there. Amen. And the woman saw there in verse 47, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people." Well, there's a confession right there. "For what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." And so we have this text here before us of a woman with an issue of blood. And we notice, of course, the outcome of this text, I'm telling you, is a representation of what's happened to us in salvation. But it also deals with us in our practical life. And I just want to deal with the subject matter tonight of touching Jesus with your issue. I don't have to ask tonight, do you have an issue? Most of us in here has probably got more than one issue. But have you touched Jesus with that issue? If you're okay with having the issue, you'll never touch Jesus. If you're satisfied with your issue and the effects of it, and the cost of it, the expense of it, and the limitations of it, you'll never touch Jesus. But this woman, she had an issue, and she never liked it. She never approved of it. She, no doubt, every day of her life wanted victory and deliverance over the issue. Touching Jesus with your issue. Amen. And I noticed this as I was reading even again in the pulpit, and I commented on it, that it wasn't her that was identifying the issue to Jesus. She wasn't telling Jesus about her issue, but it was Jesus that was bringing it up about having her having a certain issue, a certain woman. And that's a blessing to know that he knows us. He knows what you're going through tonight. He knows what you're dealing with, what you're struggling with, or what we will struggle with in the future. Amen. That's exactly right. And how many with issues are standing between you and Jesus? How many issues are standing between you and the Lord? You need to get those issues dealt with. Be good to get them dealt with tonight so that you can go on and live a glorious, victorious life for Jesus Amen. You can, this church can grow. No telling how many churches are limited and hindered and hampered and held back because people have issues that they won't deal with. The issues is dealing with them, but they won't deal with the issue. Amen, that's right. I mean, there's financial issues you can have. There's physical issues. We got people in our church that's going through physical issues, struggles. Amen. Spiritual struggles. You got issues? It's not a shame to say, I've got some issues, preacher. That's the first step of getting some help. Amen. That's right. There's emotional issues. There's mental issues. There's social issues. There's relational issues. Amen. There could be people in here tonight that's struggling with forgiveness. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's disappointed you. And you're struggling with. Those are issues that'll hinder your spiritual life. Amen. The word issue just simply means concern. What is it that concerns you tonight? What are you concerned with tonight? It also means problem. You got a problem? Amen. I know the one that can fix it. I know the one that's greater. Amen. It also means, we use this term in Tennessee, stuff. We just kind of, you say, what is that? That's just a pile of it. That's just a pile of issues. Amen. It's just a bunch of stuff. That we use that term in Tennessee. I guess we use it over. I'm a North Carolinian originally. I thought I'd just throw that in for good measure. But she had an issue. And I want us to look at that. Her issue is like a lot of many of our issues. Like, for instance, her issue involved her flesh. Most of our issues is the same. It involves our flesh. It's from our flesh. It's in our flesh. It's about our flesh, and so was hers. Amen. Her issue was a blood issue. That's usually what our issue is. We got Adam's blood flowing through our veins, and every issue in life comes from that. Is linked to that. Is associated with that. Her issue was also inward. Her issue was manifested outward, but the root of her issue was inward. Most of the issues represented in the service tonight is an inner issue. It may be surfacing outwardly in an attitude or whatever else, but the root of it is inward. We need to have that dealt with. Her issue was personal. She wasn't struggling because somebody else was wrong. She wasn't struggling in her life because somebody else had an issue. She was struggling because she had an issue. It was personal to her. Also, her issue was never, listen to this, her issue would never receive any help, and she made efforts to get help, spent all of her living to get help. Many physicians trying to find some help. And the Bible said that it never got better. It was nothing better, but rather it grew worse. And I was reading that some time ago, and the thought came on my mind when I read that statement where it said that she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. If your issue is getting worse, you're dealing with it in the wrong way. If your issue is getting bigger, if it's getting more control, it's hindering you more, it's hurting you more. You're dealing with it in the wrong way. Amen. I thought that was good myself. Amen. So her issue, listen, was never getting any help. And another thing about that list is that her issue was not locational. In other words, it wasn't just in one place she had an issue or another place she had an issue. No. Everywhere she was, the issue was. A lot of people wants to put locations on their problem. They'll even leave church over. I had a young man leave our church a few months ago. Oh, I say a few months ago, probably been a couple of years now. And I told him, he's sitting on the front row, he said, "Preach, I'm gonna go somewhere else. I'm gonna go somewhere else." And I've heard that out of him so much, I didn't even try to talk him out of it again. I talked him out of it several times. And I just reached down. He was sitting on the front row, and I just reached down and patted him on the chest. I said, if your problem is in there, then your problem is going to go wherever you go. If your problem is inside and it's you, then changing churches won't fix it. Amen. But a lot of people think, well, it's this church. I need to go somewhere else. And they go somewhere else, and guess what they find out over there? They got an issue over there. But it's the people. So then they go to a third church. And then they go to a fourth church. And everywhere they went, they found out there was issues. Never thinking, maybe it's me. Oh, Lord, surely we're not going to go there. Maybe it's me. But listen to this. Here's the first thing I want to deal with on this woman, the issue of blood. Touching Jesus with your issue. The first thing is the effects of her issue. There were no positive effects in her life that was coming from her issue. The effects of her issue, and on this particular point, we want to emphasize her issue dealing with her. Her issue was dealing with her. I promise you can read that, amen. It was controlling her. Everything about her life come under subjection to her issue. Where she went, where she couldn't go, all of those things was determined by her issue, controlling her. If you got an issue, and it's an issue, it's controlling you. It can control your behavior. It can control your mind and your thought life about people or about yourself. It can control, listen, amen. It can get in the driver's seat. Your issue can get in the driver's seat. There's a lot of people, their spiritual life was ruined, their testimony ruined, because the issue got in the driver's seat of control. It was controlling her. Amen. It was dominating her life. She couldn't handle it because it was handling her. It was controlling her. She was in bondage to her issue. A second truth is, it was confining her. It was confining her. It put her in boundaries and limitations and restrictions, because the law of God said about her condition that she was unclean. Having that hemorrhaging and that bleeding. Listen, I believe it's in Leviticus, and I'll read that verse in a moment. It shows that she was unclean. So anybody that touched her would be unclean as well. So it was not only controlling her, but it was confining her. It was confining her. Amen. It's one thing to have an issue, but it's another thing for the issue to have you. And hers did. Amen. Another thing about her, and that is, it was characterizing her. You know, we don't even know what her name was. Does anybody in here know what her name was? Nobody in here knows what her name was. You know why? That wasn't her identity. She was known as the woman with an issue of blood. She was known by her problem. She was known by her issue. That's a good point right there. I'm telling you, it characterized her. Amen. It didn't just confine her, it defined her. It became her identity. It became how she was known. It became her testimony. Let me say that again. Her issue became her testimony. Her issue became her identity to other people. That nobody ever called her name. They identified her by her problem. Oh my. I don't want to be known as that. I don't want that. Amen. Listen to this. Jesus can, listen, the issues that you have can destroy your testimony. But also it can become your testimony. A lot of people's lost their testimony in the church because of their issue. Amen. That's right. So it characterized her. And then, number four, it conquered her. She literally was being whipped by her issue. You say, preacher, where do you get that at? From the word plague. Remember I pointed that out when I read it a minute ago? Where she was healed of that plague. What she had, her issue was called a plague. The word plague in the Strong's Concordance means a scourge, to scourge or to whip. Her issue was whipping her. Her issue was scourging her. Amen. That's my goodness, Lord help us to not hold on to an issue that's literally whipping us. That's literally scourging us, amen? Her problem was destroying the potential of her life. Oh, sir, there's so many things. You know, when we got something wrong with us physically, we usually deal with it pretty quick. Don't we? If we're sick or we hurt ourselves in some way, we usually immediately start addressing that issue. But we can have something wrong with us spiritually, and we don't even touch it. We don't even pray about it sometimes. We don't even seek counsel over it. Amen. In fact, we get mad if the preacher identifies that issue. If he preaches a message that pinpoints our issue that we could have gotten some help, but instead of coming and thanking the Lord for that personal word, we get mad at the preacher. My, it was conquering her. It was intimidating her. And then here's another one. It was corrupting her. Her issue was corrupting her. It was classifying her as unclean. And that verse I was going to refer to just a moment ago is Leviticus 15 and verse 19. And if a woman having an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. The application is, if you got an issue, if you're not careful, your issue can spread to other people. You can contaminate and corrupt other people. Bitterness will do that. Bitterness, the root of bitterness can spring up, and therewith many be defiled. Amen. So we notice some things about the effects of her issue. That is her issue dealing with her. Let's move secondly now and talk about the efforts that she made to deal with her issue. We want to look on this particular point, the focus of her efforts to deal with the issue. Her efforts. And she was making an effort. I give her that. I commend her for that. She was doing everything that she possibly could do financially with physicians. She was trying her best to deal with this issue. But was nothing better, but rather it just grew worse and worse. Amen? You may not choose your issues, but you do choose how you deal with them. You do make that choice of how you deal with those. Amen. One is she used many physicians. Can you imagine how disappointing that was? It didn't even say how many physicians. It just said many. Be hopeful that maybe this next doctor can help me. And it's just like just checking them off. Go all the way down to the list, all the way down the list to where there's no more physicians around. There's no, except one that's getting ready to pass through town. The great physician. I mean, she spent all of her living, not only so many physicians, she spent every dime that she had. She spent all of her living. Money don't mean nothing when you have an issue. Amen. Money's not the answer. I know that the world don't believe that. Most people think that's the answer to everything. No, there's a lot of times there's issues that money can't fix it. Doctors can't fix it. People can't fix it. Just only Jesus. And that, amen, that's a good thing, isn't it? But in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 26, it tells us that she'd spent all she had. You know what that means? In good old North Carolina, Tennessee language, she is broke. She didn't have nothing left. She didn't have nothing left. No more money to be able to go. If she heard of another doctor, she couldn't go see him because she didn't have no more money. Aren't you glad the doctor she finally went to see don't charge for his services? Amen. That's Dr. Jesus for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he footed the bill himself. That's right. But we notice here just simple truth that her efforts in that second point was how she made an effort to deal with her issue, but was unsuccessful. Number three, let's move away from the effects of her issue, the efforts toward her issue. Let's talk about the escape from her issue. I'm glad there's an escape. Amen. When I talked about the effects of the issue, I was talking about the effects the issue had on her. The second point was the efforts made to find relief and healing for that issue. And that was the point where we emphasized her dealing with the issue, with the many physicians and the much spending. But here, the escape of her issue, this is when we focus in on Jesus dealing with the issue. When Jesus starts dealing with the issue, it's going to be different than when you spent all your money on something or went to see all the doctors about something. I'm glad there's help in Christ. When it's not found in people, it can be found in Him. When it's not found in physicians, it can be found in Him. When it's not found in prosperity and money, it can be found in the Master. I'm glad I know that Jesus. I'm glad I know that Jesus. I'm glad that He shows us in the Word of God that He's able to deal with our issues. Amen. And wants to. Loves it. But we're going to show you something here that stands out about this. First of all, I notice the confidence of her faith. Now you know by her going to many physicians to the point that she'd spent all of her living, disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. It would be easy for her to be just sitting on her front porch realizing there's no hope and no help for me. You could see her where her confidence was shot. Her faith was shot. But the Bible said, and when she heard of Jesus, when she heard, how would that be? She heard the testimonies. She heard people talking about what Jesus had done for them. Amen. People that had issues. People that had issues. Blind Bartimaeus could have very well been one of them. The demoniac of Gadara could have very well been one of those that was announcing and proclaiming the power of Jesus Christ. But when she heard it was Jesus and the effect that He had had on so many people that with their issues, it stirred the confidence in her faith. Oh, if I may but just touch the hem of His garment, if I could just touch His clothes, I would be made whole. There's got to be that. Jesus can't help if you don't have no faith in Him. Amen. That's right. The confidence of her faith. Her confidence was restored. She had confidence in His testimony. He was a different doctor. Hey, never a negative report. Never lost a case. Even if He showed up too late, He could raise them from the dead. He did that with Lazarus, and He did that with the widow of Nain's son, and did that also here with Jairus' daughter. Amen. He's got power. Whenever He shows up, it don't matter if it's too late. By our measurement, it don't make no difference. Amen. He can do it. She had confidence in His testimony. She had confidence to make another trip. I think I'm just going to get up. And I'm going to make an effort. He's passing by. I'm going to touch Him. What have I got to lose? You know that probably crossed her mind. What have I got to lose? Amen. I can sit here on the porch and die. And everybody will say that issue finally got her. Or else I can get up off of the porch, and while Jesus is passing by with a successful record of, amen, of helping people with all kinds of issues, I'm going to it. Hey, I'm putting it all on the line. That's right. And she had confidence in a touch. If I could just touch him. If I could just touch him, amen. I like it. But also we notice the third thing, not only the confidence of her faith, or second thing rather, there's the ceasing of the flow of her blood, of her issue. When she touched him, the Bible said in Mark 5:29 that her blood, the fountain of her blood, was dried up. I like it. I like it. Luke 8:44, she came in behind, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched, which means stopped. I'm glad Jesus can put an end to issues. He can put an end to issues, that's right. His virtue is greater than our issue. When his virtue came out of him and went into her, her issue had to surrender. Her issue had to back away and depart and leave. Amen. Virtue, that's a good point, isn't it? His virtue is greater than our issue. And that's still true today. That's still true today. Say amen right there. And then there was the confirmation that came to her by feelings, by her feelings. The Bible said she felt in her body that she was made whole. I've made this statement before over the years till God corrected me on it. You know, you can't trust your salvation. You can't trust your salvation. You can't trust feelings on your salvation. You better not go off of feelings on your salvation. But now when it comes to your spiritual life, you can trust your feelings a lot. How many times you felt like, man, I just feel so dead and dried up? Probably because you are. I feel so detached. I feel so whatever, you know. And usually that's an accurate assessment. She felt in her body that she had been made whole. What a blessing that was. There was that confirmation, amen. Dried up, pined away, withered away, her issue did. And then she confessed the fact that she had been healed. Jesus made sure she confessed it. She touched him and wanted to hide in the crowd. But Jesus stopped and turned around and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Of course, the disciples very seldom ever had a spiritual mind until after the resurrection. They said, "What do you mean, who touched you? We're in this multitude of people, this crowd, they're thronging you," which means to be pressed in on every side. But yet you're saying somebody's touched you? Yeah. Thronging is accidental touching. Somebody, "Oh, excuse me, Jesus, I didn't mean to bump into you." But when she touched him, that wasn't no bump in, accident, apology is necessary. No, that was on purpose. It was on purpose, that's right. And then she confesses her freedom, that she had been set free in Luke 8, verse 45. And we read those verses down through verse 48. And then there was the changing of her future. She never did have an issue again. And she lived the rest of her life in victory. It changed her when she touched Jesus. There were people, and you know that, there were people in the New Testament that got the help they needed because Jesus touched them. Amen. He'd lay his hand on them. He'd touch them, and they would be healed. But in this particular case, this woman got the help she needed because she touched the Lord. She touched the Lord. She had faith that moved her to action. Amen. You have an issue tonight? It could be so personal and so private that nobody even knows about it. But you're constantly struggling with it. You need to deal with that. You need to deal with it. If it's a public thing, deal with it publicly. If it's a private thing, nobody, it's just personal, Deal with it that way. Get in your prayer closet. Amen. Get in the altar and just say, Lord, I'm tired of this repeating, reoccurring issue that I deal with on a daily basis, seem like. It's hindering me. It's hindering me. It's hurting my spiritual endeavors in life. I'm wanting victory over this issue. Amen. And I believe tonight the Lord can set you free. I believe the Lord can help you tonight. In fact, the truth is, if the truth be known tonight, none of us would be here tonight. Actually, us being here tonight is a testimony that God has dealt with our issues. Because we've had issues. I've been saved 45 years, and I'm telling you, I've had issues. And you've had issues in our past. We've got victory over those things. Amen. Touching Jesus with your issues. Amen. Why did she touch him? She was dissatisfied with her issue. You're not going to get help if you're okay with what's wrong with you. If you're okay with it, you'll never make a move toward the Lord. That can be applied to salvation. If you're okay of being lost and you're okay of being a sinner, you'll never seek out the Savior. But when you become dissatisfied with your lostness, amen, I promise you, then you're going to be making moves toward the Lord, and He's ready for you. She was dissatisfied, amen? She desired to be healed. She wanted it. I was praying even today, coming up the road toward the church this afternoon, and I said, Lord, I don't know what the church needs. I really don't. I said, I don't even know what the church wants. And I said, I don't even know really how bad they want whatever it is that they want. But Jesus had a lady touch him that had a desire and a desperation about her. I want help. She realized if I don't get help on my issue, it's going to put me in the ground. Amen. Brought about a decision. There was some point in her life when she heard of Jesus that she made a decision. I'm going to him. I'm going to where he's at and I'm touching him. And it was faith-based. She said, oh, if I could just touch him, I'll be whole. Amen. She had a determination about her. I mean, when she got there where the crowd was, guess what? The crowd was in the way. And she came in behind them. I believe with all my heart that she got down on her knees and crawled through the crowd. Because had they seen her, had people seen her with her bleeding, you know, her condition, they would have restricted her and pushed her away. I think she got down because she said, if I could just touch the hem or the border of his clothes, where's that at? That's down at the ground, getting low, down as low as you can get. And she probably lived like that and probably felt that way. I'm as low as anybody on the planet. Amen. And crawled through the crowd till she got to Jesus and touched him. Amen. She had a determination. She had, a direction about her. And she went to Jesus. And then she had a massive deliverance. I mean, praise God. I bet she never quit smiling the rest of her life. I'd say she had joy just radiating out of her. Why? Somebody could ask her, so why are you so happy? I don't have an issue now. Jesus took care of my issue. When I responded in faith, when I made a move to him in faith, when I started talking to myself like we referred to the other night, and I went to Jesus, amen, I don't have an issue no more. I'm happy. Amen. I've got joy in my soul, amen. And then Jesus, to make it even more better and intimate, wasn't just that she was made whole, he called her daughter. She said, I didn't just get healed. I'm in the family now. Amen. I didn't just get my issue took care. I'm in the family now. Hey, that's right. Well, I'm thankful to report to you tonight that if you've got an issue, and even if you don't have an issue, you may have an issue next week or next year. Amen. It's real easy in our day to have issues. Amen. It really is. But I'm glad Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm glad He's in the issue business. Amen. Whatever your issue is, if you'll have that confidence in Him, that faith in Him, you'll find out that God honors faith, and faith honors God. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer.